together. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to walk out on you. Amen. I know your pain is my pain, and we've seen what we've gone through. Amen. She said, but I'm not going to go anywhere. We're in this. We're tight. See, watch this. Everybody not able to stick with you when the fire comes, turns up. Come on. Everybody's always with you when everything's good, when the money is good and great. Come on, somebody, and everything's going well. Hallelujah. And your body is well. Amen. But as soon as something happens, there's some people who can't take adversity. But as believers, we're called, watch it, to endure adversity. Hallelujah. We're going to go through some stuff. That's why even in the family, families with families, you want to leave your family sometime. But you can't because you're blood. You can't walk out of it like just like that. Because you're blood. We connected. We family. Even in the kingdom, amen, we connected by the blood of Jesus. So I can't leave you just like that. I'm going somewhere. She was not only committed steadfastly to Naomi, but she was also committed even in her present situation. In other words, she had no intention on changing their relationship. Amen. Ruth chapter 1 verse 18 says this. Ruth 1:18 says this. It says, when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. If somebody says to you, with you, amen, they're going to ride with you, amen, no matter what, amen, you ought to believe them, amen, and keep trying to push them away, amen. She said, I have no intention on changing. I'm with you, Naomi. She had no intention on departing. She had no intention on wavering. She had no intention on going back, amen, to where she came from. She said, I'm going to go where you go, amen. I'm going where you go. I'm going to die where you die. In other words, she was totally committed in her heart. See, this is a tragedy. This is the thing. We're not committed to things or to individuals with our heart. We commit to them, amen, based on what they can give us. You got to beware of people that's committed to you, what they can give out of you. Come on, son. Because when you have nothing left, they'll leave you high and dry after all you've done for them. Come on, somebody. After all the money you gave them, after all the prayer you gave them, come on, somebody. They'll leave you high and dry. What do you do when people leave you high and dry? Your friends that you counseled with. Your friends that had problems and you drove to their house to be with them. Come on, so your friends, come on, somebody that needed you. You went and picked them up from the abusive relationship, packed the stuff up in your car. Come on, so drove them to a new house. Amen. And then they had the audacity to go back to the place that you helped them to come. You went and got them with the needle still in their arm. Come on, somebody. And then when you start having problems, they leave you. But Ruth was committed in her heart. She said, I love you so much that whatever happens to us, I'm in it with you. We're in this together. We're in this together. She was committed totally in her heart. She was committed to abide with her. She was committed to journeying with her. She was committed to be with her forever. She wouldn't even think about, you know, getting in another relationship. She wouldn't think about, amen, building her own self. She said, I'm with you right now. Could it be that when you connect to the things of God and what God has for you, he'll bless you if you stay committed to it? Sometimes we don't see the blessing, amen, by looking at our current situation. We don't see what God has for us in the future, amen, because we'll focus on a current thing and forget that God has something greater for us in the future. It's like this. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have smartphones? How many of you have smartphones? How many of you have a cracked screen on your smartphone? Raise your hand. Hey, thank you for your honesty. Watch this. There are about 500,000 people today. Watch this. 500,000 people today who are using a smartphone with a cracked screen. In other words, when you look at it, when you have a cracked screen, you can't really see your messages clearly. So you got to turn the phone this way and that way and go back and forth to try to figure out what the message is. You turn it. And then you can't even see most of the message. And as the days progress, you kind of adjust to how it is. You adjust to the cracked screen. You adjust to the crisis. You adjust to the issue. And you have the ability to make it change. Amen. All you have to do is go and get the phone repaired. It only takes 1 hour to get the screen changed. It only takes 1 day to get the phone replaced. But there, in some most cases, amen, but sometimes we adjust to the crisis in our life till we don't make a decision. I got to make a change. Amen. I can't live like this. Oh, you're here. When I don't have to. So, but what happened is, Ruth said, I refuse to live without you. Because we in this. She resolved to stay. Ruth 1:16 says, but Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. She resolved in purpose. She was resolved completely in her heart. She resolved and she was committed. Most of all, she was totally committed in her faith. She had faith in Naomi's God. She had faith in Naomi's religion. She had faith in Naomi's salvation. She said, and my God, your God will be my God, and my God, I'll be serving your God. We're in this together. And if you know the story, amen, in the beginning, I told you that Naomi and her husband moved from Bethlehem, Judah. They moved from Bethlehem, Judah, go to a place called Moab. And Judah means praise. And if you notice at the end of the chapter 1, Naomi began to get angry, almost sort of angry because she felt as though now I got to go. She went from praising God to being satisfied with what God had given her until when things changed, she stopped praising God. And looked at that God was punishing her, so God had to send her back to praise. Come on, somebody. She had to go back to, Judah. Come on, somebody, to get her life in order. Come on, somebody. Sometimes when you go through stuff, you can praise God for what you want, and God will bless you for it. Amen. But you can be, the dangerous part is you can be so content in what God is doing for you till you forget to praise God even while to keep what he's given you. And then you get mad when you lose it. And God said, all I'm trying to do, Naomi and Ruth go? Where'd they go? They went back to Bethlehem, Judah. Amen. In other words, God had to get them back to praise. Sometimes he'll allow stuff to happen to us, amen, to get us back to praising God. See, when you praise God, how do you recognize that whatever I have because of you? Hallelujah. My praise is my weapon. Come on, somebody, against the enemy. Because when the enemy tells you, amen, you're nothing, you'll never succeed, you'll never be nothing, you'll let the enemy know, no. My praise is my weapon. I'm going to clap my hands and give God praise no matter what. Take it from me. Hurt me with it. I'm still going to give God praise. I'm still going to thank him no matter what's happening. I'm going to praise God no matter what happens. Are you committed to praising God no matter what? Come on, when you lose the job, are you still going to give him praise? Come on, someone. If the contract ends and they don't offer you another one, will you still praise God? Hallelujah. If your house burns down, will you still praise God? When there's no insurance money, will you still praise God? When they all leave you, will you still praise God? when the doctor gives you a diagnosis that you don't really want or aren't even pleased with, will you still praise God? I know somebody right now who's going through cancer. Young person, 40-something years, going through chemotherapy, just finished chemotherapy. Now they got to go through 6 weeks of radiation every 5 days a week. Radiation for 6 weeks, for 5 days. And every day they go to treatment, they dress in their best. I want to look sick. I'm not gonna look like all the other patients. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm not gonna look like everybody else, drawn up and walking on a cane and depressed and all that. I'm gonna go and look at my best. Sometimes you got to fool the enemy. Come on, he's looking for you to be depressed. He's looking for you to throw in the towel. Hey man, you can't look like what you're going through. And you think you got problems. And see, this is what happens. Sometimes God will put us on that spiritual operating table. And watch this. This is our struggle, Brother Greg. It's like this. When God puts somebody on a spiritual operating table, we try to talk back to God. And God said, no, I need you to shut up. Let me just do some surgery on you. I've never seen a patient on the operating table talking back to the doctor. I've never seen a patient on an operating table talking back to the doctor, because the doctor can't do his work if he's in conversation with the patient. Sometimes God will have to lay us down and do some surgery on our hearts, surgery on our faith, surgery on our minds, where we can constantly allow him to do the work in us. Look at someone like, God's trying to do some work in you. He's trying to do some work, but you got to be committed. Amen. You got to keep going. Hallelujah. You cannot throw in the towel. Hallelujah. You got to keep believing him. Oh. So she was totally committed to Ruth by faith. I mean, Ruth was totally committed to Naomi by faith. But look at somebody say, the story don't end there. It don't end there. Because of Ruth's faithfulness. Let's go to chapter 2 and see what happens. Faith and commitment to the Lord will change your life. There's times you don't feel like praising God, or being committed to God, or turning away and say, I'm not going back. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to deal with that stuff. I don't want to go through that any longer. Hallelujah. Here he is. Here we are. Pick it up at chapter number 2, Ruth, chapter number 2. It says down here, now there was a wealthy and influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. One day, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go out to the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it. Naomi replied, all right, my daughter, go ahead. So Ruth went out to gather the grain behind the harvesters, and as it happened, she found herself working in the field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law Elimelech. When she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you, he said. The Lord bless you, the harvesters replied. Then Boaz asked the foreman, who is this young woman over there? Who does she belong to? And the foreman replied, she is the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. So here it is. Here it is. Naomi was well known. Naomi and her husband, of course, was well known, very wealthy, if this was their friend. Because wealthy people hang with wealthy people. Broke people hang with broke people. Some of y'all need to change. Amen. You trying to be wealthy, you need to change your friends. All right, here we go. So So Ruth went out and gathered grain behind the harvest, and as it happened, she found herself working in the field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. While she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you," he said. "The Lord bless you," the harvesters replied. Then Boaz asked the foreman, "Who is this young woman over there? Who does she belong to?" Verse 6, and the foreman replied, "She is a young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather grain behind the harvesters. She has been hard at work ever since, except for a few minutes of rest in the shelter." Boaz went over and said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us. When you gather grain, don't go to any other fields. Stay right here, the young woman working in the field. See which part of the field they are harvesting, and then follow them. I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly, and when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water they have drawn from the well." Ruth fell at her feet and thanked him warmly. "What have I done to deserve such kindness?" she asked. "I am a foreigner." "Yes, I know," Boaz replied, "but I also know everything about you, everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of her husband. I want you to know that God is looking at everything that you've done for somebody else." Hallelujah. Everybody you helped, everybody you blessed, everybody you took care of, amen. When you thought they didn't care about you or God wasn't watching, God said, in your time of need, I'm going to take care of you, amen. Just keep believing me. So he heard about Naomi. And Naomi, of course, gave an excuse. "I'm a foreigner. I don't even belong here." But he said, "I know everything that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of her husband. I have heard how you left your father and your mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers." Sometimes when you are so committed to the Lord, you will go places that you've never been before. Come on, some of you'll be around people that you like when you join a new church. Amen. You'll be around people like, "I don't really know them. Amen. I don't know if I really fit in here. Let me just kind of figure it out." Amen. And as you work your way through, you figure it out. You know who's nice and who's not so nice. Come on, somebody. You can't figure it out. And so here it is in verse number 12. It says, "May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to make refuge, reward you fully for what you have done." So here it is, Boaz now pronouncing a blessing over her for her commitment. It says here, and some will say Boaz is a type of Christ. Amen. How God blesses us for our faithfulness. Amen. How God rewards us for our commitment to him and to others. Verse 13, it says, "I hope I continue to please you," shall she reply. "You have comforted me by speaking so kindly to me, even though I am not one of your workers." Have God ever blessed you and you didn't even feel worthy of it? Come on, somebody. Has God ever blessed you so good? You like, "Lord, I don't even deserve this. Like, man, I can't, it blows your mind. Like, I can't believe this has happened for me." It says, verse 14, "And meanwhile, Boaz called to her, 'Come over here and help yourself to some more food.'" So now, hey man, because of her commitment, not only was she getting blessed, amen, in one way, she was getting even more stuff. Hallelujah. She was getting even more of a blessing. He said, "Come over here and help yourself to some food so you can dip your bread in the sour wine." So she sat with his harvesters, and Boaz gave her some roasted grain to eat. She ate all she wanted and still had some left over. Verse 15, "When Ruth went back to work again, Boaz ordered his young men, let her gather grain right among the sheaves without stopping her, and pull out some heads of barley from the bundles and drop them on purpose for her. Let her pick them up and don't give her a hard time." In other words, watch it, God will put people in life who want to bless you, who won't even boast about what they've done for you. Amen. They'll do it on the sly. Amen. They'll give what we call a holy handshake. "Hey, listen, this a little something for you. Don't even tell nobody." Hallelujah. And God will set you up so good. That's why the Bible says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Press down, shake it together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom." I know you're waiting for the pie in the sky. You're waiting for God to crack the sky open and rain out hundreds and thousands of dollars worth of money. But watch it. It is somebody else God's going to touch to be a blessing to you. They'll say, what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. Come on, somebody. We in this together. Whatever I got, you got. Wherever I go, you go. Some of y'all need to change y'all friends. Some of y'all friends just want to hold on to everything. All right, here we go. Let me keep going. So he dropped stuff. He said, drop stuff for her on purpose. In other words, he said, I don't want her to work too hard for this blessing. Just give it to her. God's about to drop some stuff for you on purpose and say, because of her faithfulness, I'ma just slide it to her. I'ma give it to him on the slide. Come on, somebody. She don't gotta work for this one. He don't have to labor for this one. She won't have to cry over this blessing. She won't have to cry over this breakthrough. Come on, somebody. He said, I'm just gonna give it to her on purpose. And so Ruth gathered barley there all day, and when she beat out the grain that evening, it filled an entire basket. She carried it back into town and showed it to her mother-in-law. Ruth also gave her the roasted grain that was left over the meal. Where did you gather all this grain today, Naomi asks. Where did you work? It says here, may the Lord bless the one who has helped you. So Ruth told her mother-in-law, I done lost my place. Here we go. Let me read up here. So Ruth told her mother-in-law about the man whose field she had worked. She said, the man I work with today is named Boaz. May the Lord bless him, Naomi told her daughter-in-law. He is showing his kindness to us as well as your dead husband. That man is one of our closest relatives, one of our family redeemers. Then Ruth said, What's more, Boaz even told me to come back and stay with his harvesters until the entire harvest is completed. In other words, he said, whatever you need, come back and get it. God about to bless you so good. Come on, somebody. When you thought your blessing was running out, he said, no. That's just a part of the blessing. Come on, somebody. The check you got in the mail unexpectedly was just a part of your breakthrough. But I'm about to give you something even greater. Come on, somebody. I'm about to blow your mind. Come on, somebody. You about to have a relative you didn't even know about, amen, who left you an inheritance. Y'all don't even believe that could happen to you. And I don't know about that, Pat. Yeah, okay. You keep dismissing it and watch those who receive it. Watch God do something. Here we go. What verse? I'm in verse number 22. Good, Naomi explained. Do as he said, my daughter. Stay with his young women right through the whole harvest. You might be harassed in other fields, but you'll be safe with him. So in other words, this is the thing. See, if you leave one place and go to another place and think it's going to be better, amen, you might be harassed. You know how people go from church to church to church to church. They go from one church because, this person ain't really, they don't even talk to me. They don't even speak to me. Or this happened. They hurt my feelings. They shouted and they stepped on my toe. And now my toe got swollen up. Now I'm not going to forgive them. Come on. Now I'm leaving that church. And then they go to another place and find out the same issues that was in the church they left is in the current place that they're in. Come on, somebody. So they told her this. He said, stay in that field. Don't go nowhere else. Because if you go somewhere else, you might get harassed. They may step on your toe and may not even say, excuse me. Look at somebody and say, don't go nowhere else, don't go nowhere else, don't go nowhere else. Y'all scared. Y'all look at somebody and say, don't go nowhere else. All right, there you go. Keep going. Where are we at? What verse are we on? This is verse 23. And so Ruth worked alongside the woman in Boaz's field. Gathered grain with them to the end of the barley harvest. Then she continued working with them through the wheat harvest in early summer, and all the while she lived with her mother-in-law. So she stayed committed to the things of God. She said, I'm going this forever. In other words, in chapter 2, we see Ruth's service unto the Lord. And what happens is, when you serve God, it's not always going to be easy. How many of you believe that? How many of you know that? Amen. When you serve God, watch this, you may lose your job. You may get sick. Your family may fall apart. Come on, somebody. Stuff that'll happen to you that you didn't expect to happen to you may happen. Do we throw in the towel and say, oh, no, I give up. I'm not doing this anymore. I can't do this. But are you going to be the one who realize, hallelujah, just as my title of my message today, hallelujah, entitled, You Got What It Takes, But It'll Take Everything You've Got. Look at somebody and say, You got what it takes, but it'll take everything you got. So you got to resolve in your spirit to know you have what it takes. And you cannot give up when issues happen and challenges come your way. You cannot throw in the towel. It'll take everything. It takes more faith to stay in something, amen, that looks like it's crumbling. It takes way more faith, amen, to stick in it with somebody, amen, who's going through something, and you're like, oh man, you about to die in that thing. I won't be connected to you. It takes great faith. And that's the type of people that God's looking for, those with faith in Him. Faith in the journey. Life is a journey. Life is a journey. Things are going to happen to you and I. You know, it's like Bishop Lambert said the other night during the Holy Convocation. He said, as believers, when somebody asks you how you're doing, you should not be saying, I'm hanging in there. He said, that's not in the Bible. I'm hanging in there. What kind of I'm hanging in there? You're hanging in there. No. The Bible says, having done all to stand therefore. So when I want somebody to ask you how you're doing when you're going through something, say, I'm standing, hallelujah. I'm standing by faith. Pat yourself, say, I'm standing on the promises of the Lord. He promised me He's going to take care of me. Hallelujah. And the God I serve never, ever goes back on His promises. Come on, somebody. If He promised to do it, watch this. You can rest assured He is going to do it. That is already done. I'm about to close. But Ruth was active in service unto the Lord, unto her commitment to Naomi. Verse 2 of Ruth chapter 2, she said, let me now go to the field. She said, in other words, she said, I'm not going to let nothing stop. I need to go and do this for you. I need to go, even though it's hard, it's hot. And I even looked at many of your commitment who came out to our cookout yesterday. It was hot out there. It was hot. But y'all came. Even to the point the day before I called, Sister Marsha, you think we ought to cancel it? The weather says it's going to be hot out there. It's going to rain too. And I like her faith. She said, well, you know, we all going to be under some shade. And I said, you're right. And then in my heart and in my spirit, I'm like, well, it is summertime. It's supposed to be hot. It's summer. So I'm like, if it was another group of people out there, amen, with their drinks and their Coors Lights and Miller Lights, all that, they'd be out there in the heat, turning it up. So the worst thing we do as believers is, watch this, we kind of sort of change our mentality and say, oh, I don't have to do that. I don't want to gather with my family and the Lord. I don't know if I want to really be part of all that. You know, and it's like this. We forget opportunities of fellowship, or we miss opportunities of fellowship. But Ruth was committed to taking care of what was entrusted to her. And that was her mother-in-law. She was committed to service unto the Lord. Ruth was also reliable. When they told her in verse number 8 of chapter 2, it said, go not to glean from another field. It said, don't go nowhere else. Stay here. This is where your blessing is. This is where your breakthrough is. This is where your healing is. This is where you're being fed. This is your place. She was committed. She was you could count on her. My question to you today is, can God count on you when things get tough? Can God count on you when it don't feel good? When you want to give up? When you want to throw in the towel? Are you reliable? Are you reliable? Even in church, when we need you to do something, you know, you bring this or you bring the paper clips. Can we count on you to bring the paper clips for the meeting? Well, I forgot I was running late and I didn't have a dollar to get the paper clips. And so I came with nothing. And all your job was to bring the paper clips to the meeting. Can God count on you? What did Jesus say to the disciples when they kept falling asleep? After he told them, he said, just sit here and pray. And every time he came back down, they would sleep. He said, can't y'all just stay awake for 1 hour? Can you be reliable to me just for 1 hour? I've given you 23. All I want is one. I went to a youth service last night and they gave out these bands. And the band is hashtag stay woke, eyes on Christ. Hashtag stay woke, eyes on Christ. So this is what I want to say to you in my closing. You may be going through the most tumultuous time of your life right now. Or dealing with some challenging things in your life right now. And the enemy is trying his best to throw your focus off. But this isn't the time to stay away from God or stay away from the house of God. This is the time where we stay awake and we stay alert and we stay focused. This is a time where your prayer life is so important, your devotional life is so important, your time with God is so important. This is a critical time in your life where you have to know, say, Lord, I want better for my life. I know this isn't it for me, Lord. I know I'm going through all this stuff, and God, I don't want to be distracted. I don't want this stuff to make me mad. I don't want what I'm going through to make me angry and be mad at you. So God, touch my heart, touch my mind, speak to me. Pat yourself, say, I got what it takes, but it will take all I got. And all you and I have to do is use our faith. Don't give up. Use your faith. Don't adjust to the crisis. Amen. Know that you're greater than what you're going through. You're greater than that crisis. Amen. You're greater than that issue. You're greater than that giant. You're greater than that problem that you're faced with. God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. You have what it takes. You got what it takes. Pat yourself against it. I got what it takes. I got what it takes. Come on, pat yourself against it. I got what it takes. It's going to take everything I got. and you have it in you. Victory is already yours. Yes, victory already is yours. You're already healed. You're already blessed. You already got your breakthrough. Come on, somebody. God's hand is resting upon your life. God's holding you as you go through the shadows of death. Come on, somebody. He's right there with us. Let us pray.